What we're going to talk about today on this episode of the podcast is more about the certifications that are out there. We're not necessarily going to specifically talk about any certifications, but just the idea of certification or learning different model or learning a set of tools for manual techniques or manipulations or needling, taping, whatever. A lot of times is sort of disconnected and you end up accumulating all these tools. And it's sort of like a workbench that's a mess, right? You got all these tools all over the bench and eventually it gets kind of organized where you always end up using these certain tools, but it's not a very developed box of tools with an order in which you would use them. So that's kind of the idea behind starting the network. The way that it was originally designed to be used was to develop a practitioner. We're going to have a conversation now about how you would do that. What the difference is between just being an education or certification junkie and just getting all of these different letters behind your name versus learning something that helps you develop into the best practitioner that you can be.
Right. Well, the first thing that you have to have is a useful and effective decision-making framework, which means that you need to have a strong enough representative model that allows you to understand foundational structure and how that structure influences what the options are. And while there is plenty of information available, how that information is presented and organized needs to be meaningful. And so that's what principles and concepts was constructed for, is like, okay, this is the foundation of a decision-making framework. This is taking the available understanding of anatomy and framing it in a way that becomes meaningful and useful versus just blurting out, you know, general concepts. It's like, how does this concept influences. So why would anybody need to understand any element of embryology? Why would somebody need to understand any element of physics? And it's like we have to take these concepts and then put them into this framework that actually increases our understanding of what these available options are, and then we have to give them meaning. And so that's the whole design of the initial curriculum is, okay, well, what are the possibilities? And then what does this mean? And then we have to develop a way for us to observe and measure what this is representing. And so then that leads us from principles and concepts, which is our foundational element, into assessment. It's like, so when I see something in an assessment, I can understand that, okay, these were the options that are available. Now I have a much deeper representation of meaning as to what I'm actually observing. This would then lead us into, okay, if this is the foundation, if this is what it means, then what do I do? And then that again leads us to the next level, which is the programming and interventions. Within that, now we have our accumulation of tools. It's like, so how do I intervene? And so then this leads us to, if I have the scope of practice, then I have manual techniques that I could apply. I have taping strategies that I can apply. I have tools that I can use. I have an endless array of exercise possibilities that I have to be able to categorize and apply them appropriately at the appropriate time. And so this is why the curriculum is constructed as it is we establish the foundation, we give it meaning, we allow us to recognize what's going on, and then that allows us to intervene more effectively.
Right. The ultimate goal of a curriculum like this is to be certified as a UHPC practitioner. And that certification process of taking these four courses will have to culminate in a cohort of people attempting to certify, going to wherever Bill is, and then being assessed in person and then certified in person so that we know that not only did you learn all this stuff, but you understand it and can apply it and are applying it. This would involve case studies of your own, write-ups of what you've been doing, and then some type of example or demonstration of your skills, be it right, as
practical,
a practical
representation of your capacity to teach, coach, apply, etc.
It'll all be based on whatever you have in terms of access in your toolbox. Athletic trainers or physical therapists that might have more manual skills available to them, and then you have personal trainers and coaches who might not.
It's not about changing what you do or trying to expand your scope. It's about what is the most effective way for me to intervene with someone in this specific circumstance based on my skill set, based on the tools that I do have available.
Right. So, and I don't want this to just turn into an explanation of what the UHPC certification curriculum is, although it does kind of help frame the conversation a bit. You could learn any, when you're talking about health and performance, we're just trying to develop an actual stepwise process, a roadmap that would lead someone from being a very green practitioner to having the framework like you're talking about, knowing what the information means that they're gathering on their intake, and then being able to make the right choices that sort of circles back in a gigantic feedback loop to your original framework.
Right.
Or within your original framework. Right. People who are seasoned and have 20, 30 years, 15 years doing this stuff, they've already figured out certain tools that work. The representation in their mind of why or the repeatability between people isn't there. So it's this really uncomfortable struggle for a lot of people that we get coming to learn from this model is that they hit, there's certain things that are always certain clients, certain patients, certain problems that they see that they can never crack. There is a reason for that. And it's just right. because you probably don't have the right perspective or you haven't been given the right framework to work off of yet.
Right. It's just a deepening of understanding. And I think there's a lot of situations where it's just a matter of expanding the perspective of what the options truly are, what this actually may represent. And I think that, again, going back to the principles and concepts, I think that that's the value, is getting people to look at things a little bit differently. Some things are just accepted and then glossed over. You know, just looking at something like muscle orientation, versus connective tissue behaviors, like separating that understanding now gives you a better perspective of how the system actually is moving through space. And so we're expanding the view, I think. And I think that's one of the things that we have to constantly do is not be satisfied with our understanding. We always talk about, though, the model is constantly evolving. The reason it is because as we accept and solidify certain elements of behavior, there is always the next thing that could potentially be an influence. And so we want this to continue to evolve. And we're in a situation now where we have a very broad framework that becomes more effective and more useful.
Yeah. So the curriculum, the UHPC certification curriculum is going to be there will be like its own separate website with access to online self-paced courses. And that will be going live on Friday, January 2nd, 2026. So the weekend of when this podcast episode is going to be released. And on there will be the first available course for people to take, which will be the principles and concepts course. That will be the first in the order of principles and concepts, assessments, programming and interventions for health, programming interventions for performance. And those are the four primary courses that we're talking about. And like Bill said, it's decision-making framework. It's understanding where all of this stuff comes from and the fundamental truths of really like the universe when it comes to physics, when we're applying physics and to anatomy and biology. And then sort of it starts to give you a glimpse into applying that type of stuff and how you can use it right away. And then the assessment course, which piggybacks off of what you learn about what happens inside the base of support with the center of gravity, starts to look at table measures and dynamic movement assessment in order to figure out where someone is with the base of support or without or outside of the base of support as well. So taking anyone, whatever level of complexity of that case, having them be in front of you, being able to assess them, where they're at in space, and then start to develop your primary line of thinking of how you would intervene. Mm-hmm. And then the interventions course is going to be just a continuation off of that. So you've gathered the information, you understand the starting points, and then you, like, how do you formulate or set up your safe to fail experiments? What are your key performance indicators going to be? And then how do you get someone in the health perspective, how do you get someone back to the point in which they could go train or they could go back into the performance realm? And sometimes people might not leave that realm, but it's important to know that sort of rehabilitation process, that reorientation process, the reorganization process to get someone back to moving well before you get them to perform. Because performance is, it could be a wide variety of things. It's all relative to the person. Performance right. for an 85-year-old woman might be getting up to go to her mailbox every day. Where performance for a 20-year-old or a 30-year-old dad might be, he wants to be able to play pickup basketball at the rec center on Sundays.
Right.
So it's getting someone back to the relative motions, reorganizing them so that they can control themselves within their base of support, and then starting to push outside of that and the management process for that for the performance course. So again, check that out on UHP Network. All the links and everything will be up on Friday, January 2nd, in order to go and start the certification process. So the self-paced online principles and concepts course will be available first. The assessment courses, we've been doing live ones as well. So that's another mm-hmm. thing too, is if you're interested in this and you're not on the network yet and you want to come to a live course, once you've taken principles and concepts, you will be qualified to attend the live course for the assessment course.
Right.
Same thing is true there, though. You will need to have taken assessment before you can take the programming and interventions courses, which will be coming out at the end of 2026. I think we're aiming for November of 2026 for that.
Yes. Each course builds off the next.
Right.
Thus the prerequisite nature. Yeah.
Okay. It's a format that I think would help a lot of different education routes, is instead of having these sort of disparate seeming courses, or even worse, I think one of the major pitfalls of a lot of commercial models is you have a set amount of tests and then you just have sort of a cookie cutter, almost like diner menu of activities that you do. Right. You know, this test means you do these three activities and then you progress to doing these four activities. And there's always, you always just cycle through like five different types of split squats over someone's program. And then you cycle through this squat to this squat to this squat. And it's very mm-hmm. formulaic, and it's not really based on anything other than someone just decided one time that it's a good idea.
Right. There's a limited reasoning process right. in that circumstance. What we want to do is we want to develop a practitioner that can reason their way through problems.
Yeah, and understand that if something's not working, it's not just some exception to an arbitrary rule. I'm making right. air quotes when I say that. Too often you have a certification or a model or someone presenting something and they're keep all these exceptions to rules keep coming up and they keep having to label them something else. It's much easier and more efficient to work when there aren't all of these exceptions and there's some sort of coherent framework that runs throughout all of what you're trying to do. Yes. And that's really what I think that we're trying to accomplish with this certification curriculum and just teaching people this model, because it's like a way to offer what you have been able to offer people from a mentorship perspective to a large group. And it's, right. and it's a framework and a formulaic way to go through to try to learn how to be the same level of practitioner that someone like you with 30 some years of experience and vision to see a lot of these things. It's not as easy as, like, you know, being a PT student and just observing you for a couple months and then you got it. It's figuring out how do you peel back the layers to, like, how you see, like, your coach's eye, your clinician's eye, what you're feeling when you're manipulating someone, what your sort of results you're looking for. It's like that process has been difficult to try to encapsulate, but we're doing our best.
it's always difficult because there is an experiential element to it.
Yeah.
But that's also the benefit of the construction of the curriculum. It's like getting an exposure to the foundations, developing your assessment process so you can be reliable and consistent, and then learning how to interpret that information and then learning how to apply it. And that's the accumulation of experience.
Yeah. And it's, if anyone, not that I expect very many people to listen to this all the way through, but if anyone's still listening to this and trying to figure out how they should learn this, if they should even try to become certified in this type of stuff, like, there will always be the UHP.network, the community that exists now for this model. There's always going to be a free branch of it where you can learn the model through older videos of Bill, quizzes, mm-hmm. assignments, and you can get a pretty good handle on, we have a free anatomy course. We have a free decision-making course, which is just about decision-making in general, not just right. applied like
learning
to
how to make a learning how to make decisions.
So it's pretty helpful just from a life perspective, learning and living your life, being able to have a procedure in different types of learning models for decision-making. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can learn, you can kind of dip your toes in the water that way and learn those things like that. You could always take these self-paced courses or the live courses and not plan on certifying yourself. That is totally fine. Right. That what we're looking for with the certification process is creating a, you know, group of people that over the next 5 to 10 years, we get into like the hundreds. We're not talking about certifying tens of thousands of people and just slapping. Yeah, this is going to require a lot of hard work. It's going to require you to have to present your skills in person and be fully vetted in terms of, you know, being certified. And I don't think anyone that gets to the point where they're trying to come in person to certify will not be ready, but there will definitely be instances where people will not pass the certification. I can say with some confidence.
I would think that, you know, the more motivated practitioner understands that there is elements of difficulty and struggle, and it is a necessary element. To truly improve, you have to be challenged. Like, this has to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's not.
You have to be willing to undergo that.
This path is definitely not something that's for people who just want to know, like, what do I do?
Right.
What should I do here? Right. Well, what would you, how would you go about figuring that out? And just having the tools in order, hopefully by the time they come to that point, they have the tools there. You know, there will be requirements before even coming in person. There will be case studies to present. There will be examinations to take to prove your understanding so that we're not just bringing anybody to try to be certified.
Correct.
But yeah, so this podcast is kind of about the education process, what we've seen as a problem with how different certifications have been run in the past. You have all these extra letters at the end of your name, and you can't really connect the dots between them. you find the things about each of these models that sort of works, but you can't reason why they're connected. You don't really have that sort of coherent underpinning to go off of. And that's
in addition, then you've still got the community, as part of this whole process. So there's interaction with other practitioners. There's access to Q&As that help clarify things while you're in process. Yeah. So that's they're not out there in isolation, right? It's a little bit of shared misery amongst the group we all work together.
Right. And that's, one of the goals of having the self-paced courses now. So when you sign up for PNC, once you are done with your PNC course, you will gain access to a month of UHP Plus, which is what you're talking about with the community forums and the Q&As and the interaction between all of the practitioners that we have in there. We have like 300 people in there. You'll get access to that after you finish your course. And then when you stay in that space, in that community, that's where like your continued access to the library of content. So as you're going through these courses and you're taking these courses, they just become part of your library, your resource library, in the UHP Plus sort of framework. Yeah. I think that kind of like covers everything that we wanted to talk about for our future lowest performing podcast ever. The reality is like we're on a time crunch for trying to wrap up this self-paced course, and there's a lot of other things going on. So we wanted to just kind of keep it topical with what we're discussing.
It's important to let everybody know what's going on. So they can be ready.
We're going to film something else for that. This is more for like the YouTube, but what, I guess if anyone's watching this, for the truly two or three people still watching through the end of this one, I want to know what people got for the holidays. Cause we're in the holiday season of 2025 here. Did you get anything present wise for the holidays?
Not really.
No.
I got a
hat rack for my door. I haven't put it up yet.
Oh, nice.
So
for your many hats.
Yeah. For all the hats I got, they're just kind of like are strewn about on my counter somewhere. Post in the comments what you got for the holidays, and then be on the lookout on UHP Network on Friday, January 2nd for the release of the self-paced principles and concepts course. And just that will be the website that we release for all of the up and coming self-paced courses. And then UHP Network will be your place to learn about the live courses that are coming as well. But yeah, happy holidays, happy new year, and we'll see you in 2026.